Kenneth, still on the World Champs and Singapore's women's team straight after their SEA Games, when they won the gold medal on Sunday. I remember this very vividly. They won on Sunday, flew back on Monday, and they spent like a few hours with their family. Very next morning, they flew to for the World Champs in Switzerland, was it? Switzerland. Yeah, and how in the world did the SFA manage to pull off such a tough travelling schedule?
Well, basically, it's all thanks to the great support from our stakeholders, from all the way from office, in arranging all the administration, to the coaching team, to our sponsors, our apparel sponsors top, who ensured that our women's team actually travelled to both competitions in two different attires. So the women's team, the teams will come back and get washed and get ready for the next trip. Yep. So all this logistic, great support from the stakeholders. And also, I want to thank also the SportSG for their campaign funding for both our men's and women's team. So actually, our women's team actually travelled to Czech Republic for the Czech Open back in August, September to compete there. So they actually have a chance to get used to playing high-level opponents back in August already. And also, because there's a few debutants in the women's national team, so it's a chance for them to get used to playing these top-level opponents and also to acclimatize to the weather, which is pretty similar to Switzerland also. Mm. Also, we also thank the support from the parents also play a big part of the players, because they are always fetching their players from airport to the back home or from their training venues back home. Mm. So all this support really helps the players in maintaining their sleep, their nutrition, for the day. Yeah. So all this really helped.
Okay. And over in Switzerland, our women managed to avoid finishing at the bottom as they fought their way to finish at 12th place out of 16 teams for the very first time. Your thoughts, Kenneth, on their achievement at the 2019 World Championships?
Yeah, so their preparation commenced way back in, even from last year, during the previous year in 2018, the USA Cup. Their preparation for this World Championship, the last World Championship, already been all the way. So it's a work in progress, a 1.5 year project for the national team. So throughout this training period, actually they had a lot of physical PT trainings to get ready for these back-to-back competitions for them. Also thanks to SportSG, who introduced our players to a few nutrition talks, also mental resilient skills talks, that will help them overcome all this mental barrier when they're down, especially you can see in the SEA Games final against Thailand, coming back. So also during the World Championship, there are a few times when they look like they are beaten, but their mental skills, their resilience is always there to push them through, to come back and go get the win. Yep. So all this really helped them. Like I said, also the Czech Open in August, where they participated, the preparation playing against top level opponents really also helped them. So when they are off in Switzerland, they know what level they are going to expect when they play there, and they can straight away, once they land, they can straight away get down to business because they are also used to the weather already. Yep.
Okay.
And also in appreciation to the family support shown to our players, we actually did a first ever family day for the family of our national players. So back in early January. So during this family day, we actually got our players, our national players, to teach our family members how to play the sport that their kids or their spouses are playing. So at the end of the event, we actually presented a medal to the families, because I believe they are, even though in the eyes their kids are number one, but in the kids' eyes they are number one in the family. So we actually did this symbolic ceremony for them. So it keeps a very it's a form of appreciation for association to the family members for their support to their kids over the past 2 years in preparation for SEA Games.
That's right, because above and beyond the support from the stakeholders, from SportSG, it is the families that probably play the crucial role in the athletes training. And like we said, I mean, it was a roller coaster to see the women return from Manila on Monday, on Monday itself, spend a few hours, next morning they fly out to Europe. Coach Lim, we know that the coach of the women's national team, Louise Keng, she stepped down from her role just last month after two and a half years in charge. So from one coach to another, what can you say about the legacy she leaves behind with the women's team?
Based on my understanding, Luis has been doing this as pro bono.
Oh, wow.
And so okay. for her sacrifices, and her husband Gino's sacrifice, I think the sacrifice that they put in to build up the team, to build up the sports, I think that's remarkable. Mm. And it's definitely something that we will miss. And I think something that's important, and really the legacy, like you mentioned, the finishing 12 and everything. I think previously
winning the SEA Games gold.
Yes, being from a player herself, she used to be a national player on her own, and then now finishing or becoming a head coach, and then eventually leading the team to SEA Games gold and finishing 12th in the world. And I think that's definitely a feat that's unremarkable, and it's also something that I think is important. I think as well for me to keep in mind that I need to do better, and then I think eventually, hopefully, we can bring the guys to the same, if not higher grounds.
Okay. The men's team saw a transition in terms of the coaching department. The previous coach was Matt Yotsikotsky. He left. He was in around when we in 2017 to about end of 2018.
Yeah.
And then you came in about April.
2019 April.
Yeah. So the two of you didn't have a chance to overlap, but I understand you actually had a chance to play under him.
So I was actually a player in 2017 first Asian Confederation Floorball Cup.
Oh.
Yeah, so the AOFC in short. What happened is that we actually I played under him, and then that was because of work issue and commitment wise, I wasn't able to continue to commit as an athlete.
Yeah.
Therefore, I withdrew myself out of the program and just focus on coaching as a full time coach.
Okay.
And then from there, he continued to guide the team. They even went to, because of the connection that he has in Finland and everything with Classic Floorball Club in Finland, and it allows our boys to have opportunities to have a training camp in Finland before their World Floorball Championship in 2018.
Okay.
So yeah, really, that's also likewise thank him for the connection that he has given to the boys, the experience that he has given. I think these are definitely experiences that the boys cherish, and some of them still talk about it.
Yeah.
And even for one of our players, Hafiz Sudat, who went there to compete in the lower tier teams, and it's comforting and great to know that such opportunities are made available because of what Matt has done.
Yeah, and Matt was also, I think, Kenneth, we were all involved a few years ago when he managed to bring two top level Finnish, as in two teams from Finland's Pro League, and they played in Singapore as part of their centennial celebrations. Yeah. And the game was shown live, you know, to back in Finland and Denmark. So, and that was the very first time that the Finnish Pro Floorball League actually saw a game outside of their own.
Yeah.
And we had a full house of close to 2,000 at our Tampines Hub. So. Shazli, how many years have you been with the national team, and what does it mean to be team captain?
How many years? I think I did the development squad, the under-19 squad last time in 2006 and 7. So I started my first men's competition in 2008. So it's been 12, this is my 12th year. It's been more than a decade.
Okay. So that means you would have had the chance to work under a few national coaches. So let's talk about the recent, as in Matt, and Coach Lim, what are their respective coaching styles?
I mean, they have their own strength. They have their own strength. They know what they want, and they have their own plans. So, for me as a player, I think we just have to try it out and go with the plan. Whether it's working or not, that's the end product that we can see. So, I think most importantly is they know what they want. I think that's the most importantly as a coach. Like, whether it works or not, I mean. The best thing that we try, because if we don't try, we won't know what's going to happen at the end of the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's better?
Who's better? Whose results higher, then we can see.
Kenneth, I believe the last time I checked up on Floorball, you have about 15,000 registered players. That was probably about 2 years ago. Has that number sort of changed?
The numbers should have went up. We don't have hard numbers at the moment, but we have seen an increased number of interest groups being taking place in a DUS hall. Okay, at the moment we have 4 DUS halls for rental over the weekends for all these interest groups, and these interest groups actually come down for to do trainings, to do friendly matches. So we have seen an increased number. Also, in terms of in the corporate sector, we have seen an increase in number of teams participating in those corporate leagues. Remember the recent civil service competition, we actually seen a huge number of teams playing. So it shows that the sport is picking up not only in the school level, not only in the tertiary level or the league level, it's also picking up in the interest groups and also in the corporate sector.
With the large number of players that you have, how many qualified coaches do you have in Singapore, and how often does your NSA conduct coaching courses for those who are genuinely interested?
Okay, so the association prides a lot in the coaches development. So we spend a significant amount of our budget also in coaching development. So we actually runs a few courses a year for coaches, and also we try to upgrade our coaches, such as having a level two course for our already qualified coaches, so that to bring them up a level, also impart more skills and more knowledge to them.
Okay.
So that in the future they can lead even higher level teams such as national teams, whether Singapore or overseas. Okay, so also we feel that coaches is very important in the development of youth players, because having a qualified accredited coach will allow you to impart the correct values, techniques to the players, because if the players learn the wrong stuff from the start from their younger days, in the end it will not bode well for the future of the sport.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we are also working closely with SportsG to do a revised coaching course for ourselves, whereby we include first aid session and also the values and principle sessions in our coaching course, so that within this 3 to 5 days course, participants can straight away attain the full membership required in NROC. Yeah, because previously I believe they do need to go outside to learn how to take the first aid course and also the value and principle course. So we want to do a full package for them once they sign up for our coaching course.
Okay. Staying on the note, Coach Lim, what does one need to possess to become a qualified floorball coach here in Singapore, or even internationally?
I think for locally, there's a lot more accreditation, certification that you need to qualify, because like Kenneth mentioned, it is our association aim to maintain a high level of coaching. So for example, you need to get your anchor SG coach excellence. You have the theory and then you have the technical. The technical is the one that is run by the association. Theory is run by Sports SG themselves. And the reason being is that you need to understand the need of the youth, especially in terms of periodization, the recovery, the things are. This is one of the important factors of an athlete's journey, and the strength and conditioning aspect that is very important as well. Because if let's say they have the injury, how do they recover from the injury? How do they strengthen their muscles from the injury that they wish they have suffered? So these are some of the key points that are important for a coach to take note. And of course, as a part of our safety consideration for the students or the players that is under us, Coach actually also have a mandate that is important for all coaches to be standard first aid certified. And then I personally agree to this, and it's important because personally I've seen multiple situations where some bad fall leads to fracture and everything, and it's important to know how to respond and react to give the first aid necessary.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's I think one of the main key factors. However, the next thing that I think there's an important need for coaches to really study the sport, to look at what is globally the best practice, and then try to adopt and then integrate into your own personal coaching. And I think the next thing that's important for a coach is the values that they wish they carry. How do they translate that? Because talent is really not enough.
Yeah.
And how do you bring in character traits or values that are important to our athlete and to be cultural sensitive? And I think these are some of the things that are important for a coach.
Okay. Are you aware of any Singapore-born coaches who are applying this trade outside of the Lion City?
Right now, there's only one that I can think of, and that's Kenneth. He's coaching he's the head coach for the national team of Thailand. And
oh wow!
Yeah, both
men. National team of Thailand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think
this sounds like a Fandi Sundram kind of thing.
Yeah.
In football.
I think he's been there for quite a while now. Yeah, about 4 years, I believe.
So that means he was the head coach of the Thai team that beat us at the SEA Games.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Shazdi.
Yeah, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Kenneth is the yes. the only one so far. But good job. I mean, we have a Singaporean who's you know, doing well in floorball outside of the Lion City. Shazni, do you and your teammates, we shift the focus, do you all get to go down to schools to conduct coaching clinics or make appearances? If so, how often during a calendar year do you do so?
I think it depends. During the period, if the school requested for some roadshows, and especially during the SEA Games period, there's a SEA Games roadshows to schools, they will invite all the athletes from different sports to come down and do, and then they will have different, which I did before previously, where they will spread out the sports, and then for floorball, they will do conduct a small short clinics for the day. So usually we have like some introduction and some games, then after that we will go into the clinic at the end of the part, I think about 1 hour or half an hour.
Mm.
Yeah, so we do get these opportunities. There's also various events also that's coming for us also. So that, but of course it depends on the availability for us. Because most of us are working adults and some of them are students studying still.
Correct.
So I think if it fits our time, I think definitely the, my teammates will be more than welcome to be involved.
For interested students, what sort of investment of course are we looking at if they show an interest in wanting to play for floorball? I mean, do they first of all need a hockey background?
Not really, because to be honest, for floorball is way, way different from hockey. I mean, the kind of knowledge and play. Because for hockey, there's only one side of the gameplay, right?
Yeah.
For floorball, it's usually it's the opposite way. If your strong end is on the right top, so you should more or less be a lefty, which is the opposite way.
Mm.
Then for righties, it's usually what, like how hockey play, right? For floorball, the master hand is always on the top, so it's on the left hand. Okay. So don't really need a background for that, because and opportunities for them, a lot of schools, especially primary schools, I think we have close about 50 to 60 schools that is having floorball in the CCA. So I think some schools they play PE. So I think for schools, especially in secondary school, tertiaries, universities, everywhere there's floorball. There's also programs for them, like holiday programs in the, during the holiday period, like June, September, conducted by Sports SG. So there's also various opportunities outside for clubs. Maybe we have contacts on someone out there, or they performed, they played well, and then got scouted by some clubs. And also there's also some academies out there to source them out for this stuff. So
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know that one NSA that is really happy with floorball is of course our friends from Singapore Ice Hockey Association. We interviewed them last week, and they say, you know, because they have only one school in the whole country that which is Hwa Chong International, that has a CCA of ice hockey, and then they say they have a few former floorball players who have transitioned to play ice hockey as well for the national team. Kenneth, what is the estimated number of schools in Singapore which have floorball as a CCA, and in total, how many students are we looking at across primary, secondary and tertiary? Do you even have it at primary?
Yeah, we have it.
Okay,
primary.
So yeah, across the three, how many are we talking about?
I would say currently in the primary school level, currently it's ongoing, the primary school senior division is ongoing. We have a total of 63 teams competing in both the men's and women's boys and girls competition. And also ongoing is the B division, which I think is a set 3 and set 4 students. So ongoing, we also have 64 teams participating in the men's and women's boys and girls division. So quite a lot of teams. And also in the tertiary level, I think every polytechnic and university have the sports, have floorball in the sports, as part of the sports. So I would say the number is growing up to maybe have close to 200 over schools and tertiaries participating. So it's
and floorball's history is only about 20 something years.
1996.
Exactly. Very young sport. Are there one or two powerhouses in floorball in the national school games, for example, in the B division? Who are the likely teams, top teams in the boys category?
I would say previously, when maybe a few years back, we only have one or two powerhouses. But at the moment, I would feel that the level of competition is quite steady, quite even out. Because now kids, especially in secondary schools, they have more exposure to the sport. Schools are actually sending teams to join our floorball league, playing against higher level opponents, so that when they go back to their national school games, they can impart what they learn in the National League back to the National School Games. Also, parents are also sending their kids for academies, like the Youth YFA, the Youth Football Academy. A lot of parents are sending their kids over to all these academies to increase their players, their children's ability to in the sport. So their kids nowadays are more exposed, like I said. Also, recently, back in December, actually, two of our academies, local academies, actually sent two teams up to the renowned Strobata Cup. So this is a youth competition in Sweden. Okay, Sweden, one of the top countries in floorball. So they actually sent two teams, two youth teams up there to compete. So all the experience they gained from there helps them a lot in back in their own terms and so in back in school. So we see the level of floorball in the school level actually evening out. All the players are all, like I said, more exposed and even more better skilled than before.
Okay, so still on the school scene and maybe the national school games. What about the girls, teams, which are the top teams in the A division?
The A division have yet really started yet. They haven't started, but
based on maybe last year,
I believe it's also quite evenly phased out because. Because of schools, like I said, also a few JCs are also participating in the league, like Victoria JC are also participating in a floorball league. The exposure they gain from playing in the national league and coming back to compete in the division will certainly help them a lot. And like I said, it's going to be an exciting competition for once all the divisions.
Once it resumes. Okay.